Good evening, everyone. This afternoon, around 4 o'clock, I went home, and I had four scriptures for tonight. And I thought, wow, this could be a mighty short sermon. But by the time I left my house at about 5:30, I had 16, so maybe not. But I'll try to keep it down, at least under an hour, hour and a half. I hope everyone has brought their books tonight. I was thinking about that on my way down here when I was walking. I was thinking about what these scriptures really are to us. Thinking that in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about the armor of God and how this right here is our sword. And how if we don't sharpen our sword or if we don't keep the rust off of it, it's not going to be too much use to us when we need it. And there are many police officers in our midst and some fire officers as well. And they have a certain amount of equipment that they use every day. You know, police officers use... they have bulletproof vests, they have a belt, they have a firearm, they have handcuffs, different things. And if they didn't keep them in proper order, if they didn't keep them in usable order when they needed them, they wouldn't work. And it's the same way for the fire department, and it's the same way for us in our spiritual lives, how if we don't put these to use daily, we should put them to use, and a lot of times I don't do that myself, but if we don't put them to use at times like this, where we come and we hear the word of God preached, that our sword will be rusted in our sheath. And then when we need to pull it out and use it, it won't be any good. Tonight I'd like to talk about a couple things. And as I write my notes down many times when I have the responsibility to preach, I find that it's kind of jumbled up. It doesn't make sense. But as I preach, it starts to come together. So hopefully that'll be the case this evening. I'd like to read... first, starting in Matthew, the 24th chapter. Many things have been on my mind lately. I like to look on the internet for world news, world events. I like to watch the stock market. I probably watch the stock market, you know, 2-3 times a day to see what it's doing, just to try to keep up to date on things. And, as most of you know, I mean, I don't think any of us here are living in a vacuum, but I think as most of you know, we're facing a lot of difficult times in our world right now. There is a war in Afghanistan, a war in Iraq. There's rebels trying to take over the Congo. There was an earthquake in Anchorage, I believe, this morning, or not in Anchorage, in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. There was an Anchorage in Pakistan a couple weeks ago. There's problems in Myanmar, different places all over the world. Here in the United States and Europe, we have a major downfall of our stock markets. They're bottoming out. They're lower now than they've been in a very long time. A lot of people are worried, and there's a lot of fear going on right now out in our world. And I was thinking about this, and this has really been on my heart for many weeks, the things that we're facing as a nation and as a people, and how we as Church of Christ should respond to that, and how we as individuals who believe in God and who believe in something greater, how we should respond to that as well. So I'd like to read tonight a few verses in Matthew, the 24th chapter. I think I'm going to start in verse 3. Read down a little ways. It says in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And we know that that is the case throughout history. There have been different people who have rose up through time, who have claimed to be some great prophet. Muhammad claimed to be the last and great prophet. Down through history, there have been different antichrists, even down through the history of the Catholic Church. There have been some men rise up and proclaim themselves to be God. And we know that that's not true. We know that the scriptures tell us that when the Lord comes back, everyone will know. That at that time, there will be no doubt. He'll come in his glory. Coming on down here and reading in the sixth verse, it says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." And according to the headlines of today or yesterday or tomorrow, that's what's going on in our world. there are wars, there are rumors of wars. I was reading about some Asian country, I believe they thought was going to go to war because two different factions were disagreeing in the government and they thought there'd be a civil war there. I don't remember the name of it. Rumors of wars. We have wars that we face right now as the United States, like I was saying earlier. Earthquakes, famines, all these things exist in our world. And they have existed from the beginning of time. Down here in the 8th verse it says, "And these are the beginning of sorrows." And number 9 it says, "And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And I want to focus on that verse right there. The love of many shall wax cold. I'm sure each of you in your daily lives, if it's going to work, or if it's going to school, or in whatever contact you have with people out there, you see this scripture played out in life. You see the love of many wax cold. I can't drive down a freeway in Phoenix. I can't sit in a classroom. I can't go anywhere, a supermarket, a convenience store, a service station, whatever it is, without feeling the sentiment. I overhear conversations at school. I hear people talking behind me. And all I hear from them aren't words, but rage from their heart. And I feel like the love of many has truly waxed cold. There's a lot of hatred out there, even between political parties. I mean, we're in a race right now for who's going to become the next president. There's Democrats, there's Republicans. I don't believe that this pulpit is the place to expound upon one's personal political views. But this is something that is a current event right now that we all face. The next president of the United States, we're going to be voting on the next powerful man in the world. That's what they say anyway. He's going to be the next powerful man in the world. And so we have to consider these things. But we consider that there's a lot of hatred between these parties. And I can't imagine that whatever side wins, that the other side won't claim foul play, there may be riots, there may be different things that have happened through history. But that's not how the Church of Christ needs to respond. And that's not how we need to be in our personal lives, one with another, and with the people out in the world. So I'd like to read a couple scriptures that have to do with charity, that have to do with the love of God and the love of Christ. First, I'd like to go to the first book of Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read quite a bit here. And what I'm really going to do is, for a couple of these verses in the 24th chapter of Matthew, is I'm just going to pull out a couple key points that I want to emphasize. I'm going to have a couple scriptures to go with them. I'm going to try to sum it up, and then that'll be it. So I don't think it'll really be an hour, hour and a half. So bear with me. We're going to start in the first verse, 13th chapter. "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but where there is prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these things is charity." Here the Apostle Paul is telling us that there are several things that need to be in our lives found as a characteristic of a Christian: faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of all those being charity. Here he goes through and lists many different things, prophecies, different workings of the Spirit. But the basis of all those things, the fundamental building blocks of our Christianity, is based in charity. It's based in Christ's love for you and I. It's that love of the Father and the Son. The Father sent His Son here to die on the cross, to be a penance for our sins, and provide a way that we escape what would have been our damnation without it. He came here to save us. And that charity is the basis of what we should be. And that charity should be found in each one of us, in how we treat our brothers and our sisters, and how we treat our neighbors, and how we treat those people we have contact with out in the world. Because the world, it's so easy, and I find myself being caught up in it many times. I find myself getting angry. I'm listening to something somebody's saying, teaching to me. And I'm thinking, this is wrong, and I'm getting angry and angry, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to stand up, and I'm just going to, you know, tell this guy what for, and I'm going to tell him he's wrong, and I'm going to tell him, but that's not charity. That's not doing it in love. You know, in traffic, I find myself, and I think this is a very common problem to men, but I find myself getting angry at people. You know, they cut me off, they're driving crazy, whatever it may be. And I'm angry, and I think things I shouldn't, but that's not charity. Charity is that pure love that doesn't vaunt itself, is not prideful, and it goes down through the whole list of things. And that must be found within our hearts, truly within our hearts and minds. And the way we know it's truly there is how we treat other people and how we practice it. I'd like to read another verse along these same lines found in John, the 13th chapter, just a couple pages over. We're going to read John 13, 34, and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that also ye love one another. But this shall all men know you, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." There Christ says, in his own words, the way other people in this world will know us, by how we love and how we treat and how we care for one another. I'd like to read one more scripture in the Book of Mormon concerning charity. This is found in the Book of Mosiah, the second chapter. We're going to read verses 27 through 29, the second chapter of the Book of Mosiah. And it says, "But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of succor. Ye will administer of your substance unto them that stand in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar put up his petition in vain and turn out to perish." This is King Benjamin, and he's speaking to the people. And he's telling the parents what they should teach their children. And he's telling them that they should love one another. And the principle goes to each one of us. You know, we're each children here. We're the Lord's children. We each have a mother and a father. And we need to love one another and treat one another well. And like it says here, that goes beyond just this household of faith. That the people in the world, if they put their petition up to you, the beggar, that he doesn't do so in vain. That you give to the needs of those people who are in need. I'd like to go back to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. You may put a marker there or something, because I'll be flipping back there a couple of times. Matthew 24. We're going to read verse 13. Where we left off. It says, and this is after the verse that talked about the love of many will wax cold. It says, "But that ye shall endure unto the end, and the same shall be saved." And I thought about that endurance. Everything in this life, everything in human life, there is a time assigned to it. We are born and we die. We have a time of childhood, time of adolescence, adulthood, old age. Everything in our life, everything that we know, even the service, is segmented in some form of time. Now, the Lord doesn't measure time as man measures time. I don't believe he has a wristwatch and says, "Oh, it's time to go to church today. I better meet with my people." No, I believe the Lord is a constant, and he's outside that realm, human realm of time. He's outside the time clock. To us humans, we have to endure this life. And we have to endure temptations and trials and whatever comes upon us, afflictions. We don't necessarily have a choice on what is dealt to us, just how we play the cards. It's one of my favorite sayings. I don't know who I heard it from, but it's really the truth. And we have to endure those trials that come upon us. We have many examples in the scriptures. In the Bible, we have the example of Job, the man of patience. And he suffered many, many things. His children and his wife died. And he lost everything that he had. But he endured those temptations, and he was blessed greatly. He had far beyond what he had before, because the Lord saw that willingness to stick to those righteous things, and he blessed him for it. I'd like to read a couple of verses about enduring. The first one is in 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. Verses 29 through 32. It says, "Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is no other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only true doctrine of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen." Each one of us here that have gone down into the waters of baptism have walked into that gate, have walked through those doors. And that's just the beginning. And I'm preaching to the choir because I know you guys know this. But many times I have to remind myself of this. Baptism is the gate. That's just the beginning of trials. That's just the beginning of temptations. You've started off a new man, and it doesn't count for anything if you don't endure to the end. I'd like to read another verse of Scripture over here in the book of James. It's going to be James chapter 5. Verses 10 and 11. James 5, 10 and 11. "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." We know from the history of Israel, they persecuted their prophets. They would stone their prophets, they would try to kill them, and they didn't like to hear what the prophets had to say. But the Lord raised up men who were willing to take upon them that responsibility and to preach repentance to that nation. And they had endured many things in their life. Just like we, in our lives, have to endure many things. And when I think about this, I can't help but think about our sister Amy and how the many afflictions she's had to endure. And it really touches my heart because that's an example of the believer. And that's an example of someone that doesn't let that drag them down, but lets that encourage them to do what's right. And to press forward with that perfect brightness of hope. And endure whatever afflictions that the life puts upon you. In the 11th verse it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and in tender mercies." And here it's referencing Job, like I said earlier, and how because he endured those things in his life, the Lord had pity upon him, and the Lord blessed him. And I can't expect him to do any different for us in our lives. I'd like to go back to the 24th chapter of Matthew. I'll try to move quickly so we don't go too far over. We're going to read verse 14. It says, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations, in all the world, for a witness unto the nations. And then shall the end come." Well, we know that the gospel, this gospel of Christ, has been preached to every nation in the world. We know that we have a start on it. We have missions and churches in Africa and the Philippines, places in Honduras and Mexico, in India, in Canada, and the United States. But that's only, 7 or 8 nations? The United States has embassies in 240 nations in this world. 240. That's not saying that that we're doing anything wrong, but we're taking the steps forward, and the Lord is blessing His work. But to me, that's saying that we need to have a mind for that work, that we have to realize that we'll have to sacrifice more as time comes. And the Lord is moving forward, and He's doing His work. He manifested Himself today in the calling forth of another minister, which we're thankful for. But to me, that reminds me, and I'd like to remind you, that even though we have a start on this work, it's just the beginning. This work is going to go forth, and it's going to go forth in power. And not in the power of man, not in the arm of flesh, but by the power and authority of the Lord, it will be spread to 240 nations plus. That when it says here, all the world, it means all the world. I'd like to read a couple scriptures considering this. The first one is in Mark, the 16th chapter. We're just going to read one verse, verse 15. It says, in the words of Christ, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This is at the time where he went back up into heaven. He was addressing His disciples and His apostles. And He was giving them a charge. And He's given us the same charge, to go forth unto the all the world. And that means Africa, and that means the Philippines, and that means Phoenix, Arizona. And that means the Phoenix Fire Department, and the Glendale Police Department, and the ASU, and wherever we are as part of the world. And we have to be that example, and we have to take these words of Christ, and we have to apply them, that we take that commission upon ourselves. The second scripture I'd like to read on this is found back in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verses 13 through 16. "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven." And this is how. This is how, one way we can spread that gospel to the world. If we don't have the opportunity or the chance to go into a foreign field, we can still spread the Lord's work by being that light, by being that salt that flavors the earth, that others may see how we live, how we react, and how we act, and that they can see there's something different about that person and something that I want. I'd like to move on. I'm not going to go any farther here in Matthew. But I'm going to kind of go to the second line of thought that was on my mind this night. And that's going back to the idea I presented in the beginning of our world really having a lot of chaos and a lot of fear in it. And I want to address that, because if we're not careful, we can buy into that fear and we can find ourselves in a place that the Lord doesn't want us to be. And so I'd like to read a couple scriptures on that. The first one is in Alma. And this is something I believe that each one of us need to do more on, and me the most, because I find myself forgetting to do this, and that is to pray. When things come upon us as a nation, and when things come upon us as individuals, I believe the first thing we need to do is to pray about it for the Lord's advice, for His direction, for His peace. So we're going to look to Alma, the 16th chapter. Verses 2:18 through 2:22. It says, "Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye being to call upon His holy name, that He would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto Him for mercy, for He is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him in your house, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto Him over the crops of your field, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, and when you do not cry unto Him, unto the Lord. Let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. Me, when I get up in the morning, I'm usually rushed. I usually get up a little late, late for school. I have an assignment, do something. And the first thing I cut out, and it's not even consciously, is my morning prayers and my morning scripture reading. It's just like gone. I don't even think about it. I'm getting something to eat, you know. I'm making sure my Jeep's running, that I don't have to work on it or something. I'm getting my school stuff together, whatever. But for some reason, it just, that's the first thing that's cut out. And in reality, that's the thing I need to be doing, especially on those days that I'm rushed and then I'm busy and I'm in a hurry. As I need to be going to the Lord in prayer and going to the Lord's scriptures. When these things that we heard about earlier, these earthquakes and famines and temptations, the first thing we need to do is go to prayer. Not freak out and lose our head, but we need to go to the Lord and we need to say, Lord, I'm here and I'm ready to hear your voice. And that's something else I'd like to talk to. In Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, excuse me, back in the Bible, I'd like to read a couple verses that talk about going to the Lord. And especially going to the Lord about our worries, about our nation. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And we'll be reading verses 14 and 15. It says, if my people which called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now my eyes shall be opened and my ears attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. The Lord here gives us a promise that if his people, which we are his people, who are called by his name, if we come to him in prayer and in humility, that he will hear our prayers and that he will heal our land. And that may not mean the preservation of the United States. It may not mean the preservation of reality as we know it. But we can be assured that the people of the Lord who do call upon his name will be secure. They'll be safe because he gives his attentiveness to us. I'd like to read some in the 23rd Psalm, because I think it gives us some words of comfort. So I'd like to turn over there. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to do. And many times I don't know if I get it across right, but I'm trying to address some of the issues in our nation as well as us as individuals. So these scriptures really have, they're double-pronged. They can be applied to us as a whole and to individuals. That when we have times in our life that are difficult, we go to the Lord first. And that when our nation has times that are difficult, we go to the Lord first. 23rd Psalm, very familiar to all of us. We could probably quote it. But it's a Psalm of David when he was going through some trouble in his life. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Neither I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head and my cup with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These to me are words of comfort. When those times come upon us in our life, when we can go back to the 24th chapter and we see those things happening, and then we see the things happening in our personal life, that we remember these words. Remember others, examples in the scriptures and examples in the body that have gone through things in their lives that were difficult and that they went to the Lord and that the Lord blessed them. I'd like to read two more verses tonight. One will be in the first book of Nephi, in the 7th chapter. If I didn't read this one already, you can double check. First book of Nephi, chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 32 to 37. It says, for behold, saith the prophet, that the time cometh speedily, that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. For that day soon cometh, that all the proud and they that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh, that they will be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of wrath shall come upon, be poured upon the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore, he will preserve the righteous by his power, even it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be by fire. Here is a promise of the Lord to those that put their trust in him, that they don't have to worry, that no matter what comes upon them, if their trust is in the Lord, they seek him in humility, that he will preserve them. There is a promise in the scriptures about the Lord's church, and it says that when it was restored for the second time, that it will never be taken away, never be given to other people, that it will always be a remnant of believers upon this earth. And it is your choice, and it is my choice, if we are part of that remnant. So if we put our faith in the Lord, and if we are numbered among those righteous, then we have nothing to fear. No matter what happens, if the stock market crashes, if there is a hurricane in Phoenix, Arizona, whatever it would be, some weird something happens, no matter what it is, we don't have to fear. I have one more scripture I'd like to read. And this is in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. This is one of my favorite scriptures of all time, because it gives us hope, and to me it gives peace, and it gives me an understanding that the Lord has my well-being in mind. The 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we're going to read verses 28 through 31. It says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. Even the youth shall faint, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's the Lord's promise to us, his people. And that's my message, I guess, this night, is that no matter what happens, no matter what comes upon this earth, that we'd have no need to be afraid. We have no need to buy into that fear that others have. That fear is not of the Lord, that we have to put our faith in him. And he promises that he will bless us for it. I thank you for your time.